We want to welcome everybody to What Keeps Me Up at Night and What Keeps You Going. My name's Eric Cardwell. I'm the past president of NASB, and we want to thank you for participating in today's webinar. And thank you for what you do for the children and your greater learning communities. We hope that today's webinar provokes thought, solutions, validation, and most importantly, you're not alone. Strap yourself in for a quick hour, and I'm pleased to have two other co-facilitators, or should I say friends or family members, with us here today helping to steer the ship this afternoon, Gail Pletnik and Paul Young. Gail.
Well, welcome, everyone, and I have been in education for well over 40 years, so I'm not sure I remember that first day, first hour, first minute, but what I can tell you is I have certainly enjoyed all of my years in education. And for those of you that are early career administrators, the best is yet to come. You really will enjoy every minute of it. And in fact, I'm a retired superintendent who decided I need to be repurposed, not retired. So I am a past president of AASA. I am a retired public school administrator. And currently, I am working with AASA as a lead superintendent. So welcome, everyone. And I'm going to turn it over to Paul.
I'm Paul Young. Welcome, everybody. I am living proof, if you're able to see this with the white hair, that there is, you can survive all of this and still keep on going even after you have retired. I started my career in 1973 as a high school band director, probably before many of you were even born. So it's a great profession to be in. I served as president of NASP in 2002, 2003. I retired from the principalship shortly after that in 2004, and then I actually got involved with the after school world and became the CEO and president and CEO of the National After School Association for a couple years in 2010 to 2012. I've been teaching college classes to prospective educators, and I have this mantra that we all need to make sure we find five and help them thrive to keep the profession going. And that's what keeps me awake and keeps me going also, is the opportunity to give back to help the people that are going into the profession, like those that helped me when I was involved in the profession. Back to you, Eric.
If we can have the next slide.
All right. So before we begin, I am going to just cover a few housekeeping items. You will be muted by our Zoom host. So if you want to pose any questions, make any comments, and we really encourage you to do so, please click on the chat feature and type in your submission. If sending a message through chat, please make certain you're selecting to all panelists and attendees so that we might be able to all see that and have comment on that. And you'll find that all panelists and attendees in the drop-down option in the chat box. The facilitators will pose any of your submitted questions to our panelists, and the questions are going to be addressed in the order that we're receiving them. This event is going to be recorded, and we would welcome anyone, if you know a peer who missed this, please let them know that they can go to the NAESP website and find this event.
So we have a poll which we would like for you to participate in. Honor's going to launch this poll, and we want you to look at these questions that we have here. What are your biggest concerns? And then we'll address these later on during the seminar in a few minutes. But if you'll pick three, select three. They are providing a continuum of services for students, increasing the number of these are the issues, the increasing number of students with emotional problems, instructional practices, student assessment, fragmentation of your time, professional development for the staff, student mental health again, the students not performing at their grade level proficiency, teacher performance effectiveness, anything else that you have that you might want to, if it's an issue, if it's one of your top three issues that's keeping you awake at night, we want you to put that in there if you can. And again, we will be taking a look at that in a few minutes here after we get further into the webinar.
Well, it is my distinct honor to introduce today's panelists as part of our discussion. I want to introduce Mr. Tim Lee. He's principal, Alcona Elementary School in Michigan. We also want to bid a warm welcome to Dr. Kim Mezaleski, principal at Tuscarora Elementary School in Maryland. Dr. Wendy Moore, who is the principal at Ruth Grimes Elementary School in California, and Mr. Tyler Salyer, principal at Collierville Elementary School, and that is in Tennessee. Welcome, folks. We're glad to have you here. You guys are young principal rock stars, up and coming, already there, providing leadership at the state level and now national level. We're glad to have you as our panelists here today.
Okay, so now it's time to get right into the focus of the webinar. And we're going to hear from each of our panelists about what keeps them up at night and what they do or what they wish they would have known as a beginning administrator. So let's start with Tim.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to be part of today's webinar. I appreciate being able to share. Really what keeps me up at night has not changed much, just more enhanced since the pandemic that really affected education over the country, and that is family engagement and involvement. It's one of the biggest factors that really has impacted me as an administrator. I spent my background in secondary ed, and so moving into elementary, you really can see the light of the eyes of the kids at a young age. Like many people said before, if you're having a bad day, just step into a kindergarten class, and Alcona Elementary really isn't any different than that. You know, the excitement, the joy, enthusiasm, it's very intoxicating by the little ones, and it helps to turn the day around. What's on my mind, though, is how and why that passion is exhausted. In my 3 years as an administrator, I've seen the light in some of my students' eyes. They begin to dim a little bit after a couple of years, and that's frustrating. One of the areas that really, you know, has caused this is the non-engagement of some of our families. You know, it's a factor that really weighs on my mind. And I try to think about different ways how we can reach those families, how the families, if they're not engaged, what we can do to really to get that buy-in and that ownership there. For some families, I know their experiences as a student coming through the school system was negative. That has a big impact on conversations at home, and it has an impact on the attitudes that their students bring to school. Sometimes there's other stressors that could affect the priority. Some of our younger kids are being taken care of by their older siblings. Some of our older elementary students are getting the younger brothers and sisters ready in the morning. And so the priority of the family, it's not on education and what it can provide. So there's many challenges in their lives, and the experiences they have may not have been great, but being an involved family can make a big difference in their child's life. Right now, more than ever, it's being an involved family can make a significant impact. It's important to have that strong school and family relationship. Our school, I know for Alcona anyways, our school is often the center of the community, and it can provide resources that families may need. Without that bond, without that family involvement or engagement, many of our kids and our families, they may not have the needed resources or even know how to get those supplies. So that lack of connection, communication is something that really has weighed on my mind, you know, since I started administration and really significantly over the last few months. Transitioning now into what I would have wish I would have known as an early career administrator kind of goes hand in hand. Even though you have a principal of a title, the expectations may be that you have the most knowledge or all of the answers, and that simply isn't true. You know, in this role, there's situations on a daily basis you're not going to have immediate knowledge about, you're not going to have a direct answer to, and that's okay. Especially during times like this, trusting your educational values will help guide those uncertainties. My professors in my administration classes, and they did a great job explaining it. They said, on day one of being a principal, you're going to be faced with something we haven't talked about in these classes, and that rings true. You know, as a student going through it, it's easy to listen to, but when you're putting those shoes, sometimes it's a little bit more challenging in that situation. And something that I've taken a hold of is being a leader doesn't mean you have all the knowledge on every subject, but it does mean taking the time to learn more about it and making an informed decision. You know, not every answer... Everything has to be answered immediately. It's okay to take some time to think. It's take time to process, take time to reflect, and truly, you know, fall back on your educational values to make that decision. A lot of times easier said than done, I know, but that's something that has been very vital in the role in this position. So thank you. That's what I had, and kind of some thoughts about what keeps me up at night and some things that I wish I would have known starting out in this career.
Great, Tim. And, you know, I learned early on you could be a great leader without being an expert in everything. And none of us can be that expert in everything. So thank you for sharing that. Kim, can you please share with us what keeps you up at night and what you wish you knew in the beginning?
Absolutely. When I first saw this question, it was funny because this question is so perfectly aligned with what we're talking about in my system. In fact, my director sent the same exact question to a group of principals not a day after I got this question. And it was funny because it is the driving question. And the reason that I think it is because we're reading a book right now, John Maxwell's book, Leadership. And it's an excellent book. And it really does make you think about changing your perspective and changing your direction. And he recommends using what he calls the sleepless night test. And that's to determine your purpose. If there's something that's consuming you so much that you can't sleep, that may be a good indication that it's your calling. And so I've spent many sleepless nights thinking about how we can maximize the resources of our school and our county to meet as many needs as possible. And there are never enough resources. There's never going to be enough money. There's never going to be enough time. There's never going to be enough qualified staff to do everything that we wish we could do. But over the last few years, it's become emphasized. Needs have grown exponentially, and resources have declined in some cases. So we're working really hard, and what keeps me up is thinking about how do I provide, and when I say I, that's a key to I needed to change my perspective. How to provide for equity so that we can close those achievement gaps, and meanwhile contemplate how to focus on the social emotional needs of students at the same time and make sure that we can meet those needs in a world where there is a deficit in the area of mental health professionals. And so those are really important things. So at first, as a new principal, brand new principal, my sleepless nights were filled with like worry and stress and anxiety. And I would get up in the morning feeling more exhausted and defeated than I was the day before, and just not starting out the day in a good mindset. And as I've grown in experience and built a team and worked with others, I've really started to realize that our calling is much bigger than a single person. And I began to let go of that worry and look at the same situations as opportunities rather than problems. And so this new perspective allowed me to spend the energy I used to waste on worry into building a team. And so that perspective brings, instead of worry and anxiety, it brings energy, optimism, positivity, and inspiration. And so I still have the same things on my mind, but the way that I'm thinking about them is very, very different now than it was even a couple years ago. And so what I wish I had known when I started out being an administrator was the power that comes from empowering others. And it's easy to focus on what you need to learn, what you need to do, what you need to accomplish. And it's all about you when you first start because of your own sense of, I need to grow myself and become better. But then soon you realize that the best way to grow yourself is to find and celebrate the strengths of those on your team and those around you. And you can help someone, if you can help someone find what keeps them awake at night with excitement, you've sparked a new source of energy and passion. And so that's a ripple effect that could reach more children than any one person ever could. And so that's kind of in a nutshell how I was thinking about the questions.
Terrific, Kim. And, you know, you made me think about when people say don't ever let a crisis go to waste because there's so many lessons that you can learn. And so don't ever let a challenge go to waste. Turn it around and make it an opportunity. So I really appreciate that. Wendy, what about you? What's keeping you up and what do you wish you knew as a beginning administrator?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm enjoying this. I'm taking notes. Thank you to everyone who's already spoken. This is good. So when I received the prompt from Eric, I actually am kind of an analytical person. So I had to take out a piece of paper and make a list of things and kind of figure out what is it that kept me up, you know, as a beginning principal, and what kept me up even just from the beginning of the year versus what keeps me up now. And when I looked at the list, the common thread was really the unknown. you know, and it made me think, okay, my son, when he was younger, how he'd get up in the middle of the night and it was the darkness that frightened them, right? Because they don't know. They don't know what exists out there. And then your imagination kind of takes over and we sometimes assume the worst. So when I think of prior to distance learning, just the common things that I'm sure every other principal here is familiar with, you know, the unknown for me revolved around, you know, the large events that we were putting together. We put all this effort into them and we weren't sure how they were going to turn out. There was the unknown that came with new initiatives and being unsure on how they would be received by staff or families. I remember last 2 years ago, we had a ton of new initiatives and it was a disaster, you know, coming out at one time. And then we think about, you know, the large events again, you know, how will they be attended? Will the contracted vendors show up? All of these things, the unknown around high stakes testing. How will we compare to other schools? This is how we're going to be judged. And then we have high profile meetings, IEP meetings. Will there be an advocate? Will the meeting be positive? Will it be contentious? And so the night before, all of those common things, you know, that we deal with as principals, those are the things that would have kept me up during the time that we actually were in school together. But then I had two parts to my list because then I fast forward to today and I just feel like the unknown is so much greater and there's so many more layers. You know, when we started this, our district was fortunate. We started distance learning the week after spring break. So our spring break started on Friday, March 13th. And so we had 2 weeks to get it together and have some sort of plan in place. And so I believe that we were fortunate in that regard. But initially, you know, the unknown revolved around what's distance learning going to look like? You know, would the teachers be able to continue to deliver high quality instruction? Would the students be able to continue learning? Given the demographic or the community that we serve, you know, not everyone has internet. Not everyone has a device. How are we going to get devices into students' hands? How are we going to get internet hotspots out? All of those logistics, you know, all of those details, they seemed like huge barriers. And then it seemed that each week after spring break brought new questions and concerns, but then actually we would see an improvement from the week before, right? The last week's problems were solved this week, but then this week had a whole new set of problems that we had to deal with. But the teachers and students, they learned so much in a short amount of time and they eventually got into a routine. But you know, as we know, the disheartening part that continued to be unknown was, you know, where are the quiet ones? How are they doing? The few students that we hadn't been able to keep regular contact with, where are they? What are their struggles? And the nonverbal cues that we would be able to pick up on when students came through the gate each morning, that has completely been taken away from us. So we're not able to do those check-ins with students just based on what they appear to be, you know, dealing with. So those are the things that keep me up now and the things that have kept me up, you know, throughout this journey. If I had to think about what I wish I'd known as a beginning administrator, I think it kind of just, it lends itself to pretty much every situation that you come into. Someone mentioned earlier about the fact that every single day is a new challenge, you learn something every day because there's nothing that you can do to possibly prepare for everything that you'll come into contact with. And I think that's why it's important to have, you know, core values that guide you each day. So I would say when I started, I was advised to observe. Don't do anything that first year, just observe. And I'm sure my fellow panelists would say they probably received the same information. Don't go in and try to change everything. Be intentional and be a strategic listener. I would say if I had to go back in time, I would be more deliberate in terms of having conversations and being intentional with maybe having focus groups. I did survey the teachers when I had gotten there, and I had inherited the school. So I was the assistant principal prior to becoming the principal. So I knew a lot about the school community, but I was, you know, playing a different role now. So I would definitely say just be intentional while you're observing and have conversations with parents, have conversations with teachers, have a focus group with students. We all know that students know the most, but they're asked the least. So I know that it's never too late, of course. And so I do those focus groups now with students. But if I had done them as the beginning first year principal, I think it would have given me a lot more knowledge about my school from the very first day.
Thank you, Wendy. And I think I heard as you were speaking that a good leader knows how to fly the plane as they build it and keep it flying forward at all times. So thank you for those words of wisdom. Tyler, we're saving you as last, but I am sure we're going to have some great advice coming from you about what keeps you up and what you wish you would have known as a beginning administrator.
Well, I sure hope that some advice that some of us have shared have been able to resonate with those that are listening in the webinar. And that's what we want to do. We want to try to pass down and help others to learn from some of the failures maybe that we have made and some of the lessons that we've learned along the way. Going along with Dr. Moore, one of the things that I had, or an experience that I had very early on before I even came into the building, I was just hired for the job. The chief of staff took me aside and said, I want to let you know about one of the most difficult things about being a principal. He said that you're 100% responsible for everything that goes on in the building, but you're only aware of about 5 to 10% of what goes on. And I will never forget that, because as soon as the year started, wow, it's true. There's so many different things that go on with kids, so many different things that go on with teachers. Our school is an elementary school of more than 900. And it's not that you want to know from a controlling perspective. You really want to know from a caring perspective. You want to devote your time to the kids that need it most, the time to the teachers that need it most. And it's just sitting there and trying to figure out, what do I do with the time that I have? How do I maximize that? Well, also maintaining a family, and I have small kids at home as well. And so, well, what does that look like overall? What I had wish I had known as a beginning administrator, or maybe even done a little differently, is the way that I manage my time. I did sit back, as Dr. Moore said, and as probably every beginning principal was told to do, and to listen. And I think that's great, but I think I spent too much time on the paperwork of the job and not enough time on the relationship of the job. I was felt very bogged down by the paperwork of it all, by the minutiae of it all, and by all the things that we have to check off a list in order to go home and sleep at night. And while all those kind of things are very important and they keep you in the job and must be done, the relationships are what keep your passion alive. It's what keeps your fire going. It's what makes you show back up day after day after day. So that would be my advice to you.
Thank you so much, Tyler.
Thank you to all panelists. We appreciate that. Those comments, great comments. So Honor is putting up the results of the survey that we took about 15 minutes ago. And I'm going to show you what those results are. Got to get my old eyes to work here. What are your concerns? It looks like at leading the pack at 53% of the responses is student mental health. And then followed right behind, students not performing at their grade level at 48%. Then we would jump to 43%, teacher performance and effectiveness. And then we would have next at 38% tie between the providing the continuum of services for students who are at risk and the increased number of students with emotional problems. At 20% are instructional practices, and then, believe it or not, now this one surprises me, that student assessment testing is only a concern of 13%. It would be the one that would come in last, and I don't believe anybody else entered anything in after that. So that, just to remember here, or to show you one more time, that more than half of you picked out number one, student mental health. As your top concern, it's things that are keeping you asleep at night. So I think we can close that. NASP did a study in 2018, 10-year study actually, of what was the biggest concerns for principals. And Honor, if you go to the next slide, at that point in 2018, increasing number of students with emotional problems. And I think if we look at that, the mental health is certainly a piece of that as well. That was 65%. When you wrap those two together, that definitely makes this an attention getter for all of us. Students not performing at their potential was reflected in your poll. The continuum of services, student assessment, I think came in last of the 40 some participants we have on this seminar. But it was still at this point 57%, and then the student poverty, 56%, instructional practices, 55%, teacher performance, the same, believe it or not, the last of the of this group or the of the 2018 survey was financial resources, money. So I don't know where that's gone. I think it's going to be a real crisis for all of us here in the next couple years. But anyway, that was managing student behavior in 2018 was only a response by 52% of the respondees. I think if you haven't seen that survey, get on the website and take a look at it. There's a lot of rich information there that would help all of us as we reflect. What kept me awake? It was these 10 things: paperwork, evaluations, finance, management, schedules, special education, student relations, staff relations, parent relations, communications. And if you put them together, if you look at those, you could separate them the two out together in two separate columns of work-related issues, which our panelists have talked about, and people issues. Next slide. What kept me awake mostly as a principal at night was this group of teachers that complained about discipline. I thought I was a veteran principal, but my superintendent, by the way, I had lunch with him today, and he said, "Do you remember when you signed me to that last school? It was West School. It was a tough one, the toughest in our district. But he gave me a great opportunity to become a leader. How was I going to handle things differently? This was the typical image in my school. Student gets in trouble, teacher gets in their face and corrects them, and then go to the office. And I was supposed to deal with it. And that had been the way that my predecessor had operated for 15 years. So I learned really quickly that if you can prevent problems before they occur, you can sleep a lot better at night. And you can reduce harm from the problems that occur. What has come out now in the last 6 months has been a book called Upstream. And if you haven't looked at this one by Dan Heath, and if you don't know the books by the Heath brothers, his brother Chip as well, they're great business books perhaps, but also great for print for leaders. Upstream thinking is preventative and proactive. That last school where there were kids in the office all the time, what kept me going was figuring out ways to solve the problems. And it became fun. I actually put a book together when I was after I was president of NASP on promoting positive behaviors, reflecting on what we did with that school to get things turned all around. When I went to the after school world, I did the same thing with that world, because principals and after school program directors were concerned. They were seeing the mental health issues as behavioral issues. How do you turn that around? How do you get upstream from all of that? And you're going to have a great summer trying to read that book and reflecting on your practice. And you're going to get all charged up, and you'll be like me at 4 o'clock in the morning. You wake up with all these ideas of things that you want to do and not enough time to get them all to happen.
You have to love your subconscious in the middle of the night trying to solve all the world's problems. So what keeps Eric up at night? Well, I'll tell you what, and it kind of goes back to some of the things that everybody else has said, is time. Time is the rarest commodity in our work. Real quickly, so on average, principals work 60 hours per week. And from our study, you'll see it in just a second. From 1928, it's gone up significantly. So how to prioritize your time is critical. Okay, next slide. Thank you. So you can see in a survey from EdWeek how principals spend their time. This kind of gets back to what Tyler was speaking about. 31% of our time falls with internal administrative tasks, those necessary paperwork items that you need to do. But when you look at other pieces that are critical, like the 13% with parent interactions and 23% with student interactions, that's an issue. Next slide, please. So you can see in 1928 we had 44-hour work week, and you can see right now as of 2018, and this is through the 10-year study that Paul had just spoken about, we're up to 61 hours average work week. So, but my thing that I want, the message I want to bring to you is don't forget your true north. Don't get consumed by the paperwork and all those pieces that are waiting in your office. There are other times that you can do those during the day. Don't forget. If you look at that screenshot from Facebook, this is actually a person that I worked with, and I saw it about a year ago, and it said, name one thing that you miss from your childhood. And this person that worked for our school said, having one. It is a lot of the students that come to your school are looking for that childhood. And it's not going to be the paperwork that's going to make the difference in the world all the time. It's going to be that human connection, that human interaction. Next slide, please, hon. And that means forging relationships with those kids. The picture on the left is from Old Hickory, Tennessee, DuPont Hadley Middle School, where the kids are solving problems related to Nashville transportation issues. And they were going to present their solutions to the city. It means empowering kids to take ownership of the school. If you look at it's the middle photo is Crestview Middle School. The junior high students are responsible for producing all of the announcements, daily announcements for the kids, empowering the kids, having the kids trust the adults. On the far right, that's a kindergartner's picture of myself. I always had animals in my office. I had a ball python, and you can see me holding onto that ball python. That is what that student remembers, that positive association with the office, that trust that gets built up. I'm going to take you now to Clinton Young Elementary. This is outside of Indianapolis, where a district of about 16,000 students, 74 languages are spoken. And when you first walk in, they're greeted by with, I'm a wonder, because, and each child in the school had an opportunity to write. To down below, this is actually at the Hall of Fame slide, is actually from Tyler's school that I visited in Tennessee, where they set the standard for their kids by recognizing alumni that have gone on to do great things. So setting that bar, making that relationship, having those high standards. To the picture that's above, and that's in West Terre Haute at Cherry Creek Elementary, I believe, where all the district's mementos, since the district was incorporated, are housed in an elementary building, and the students run a museum and give tours to local people. To the last slide, and this is fantastic. This is at Shirley Hills Elementary in Warner Robins, Georgia. That book that I'm holding is Barky the Mouse. That was actually published by a kindergartner who had the idea, I want to write a book, and instead of saying, well, in second, third grade, you'll be able to do that. That child was able to, with the help of her teacher, wrote the book. The other students wanted to illustrate it. They illustrated the book. They got it published. They had a local book signing, and guess who had the longest line? Not the adults. That kindergartner had the longest line for the book signing. So staff relationships. This is actually comes out of our 2018 10-year study. How frequently have you been commended or in writing by the superintendent, by personal comment or written by central office administrators? And I guess my takeaway from this is 38.6% of people have never received any sort of comment. And my takeaway from that is, one, are we giving compliments to central office staff when they get it right? Because they probably hear it when they don't get it right a lot, but everybody likes to hear when they did a fantastic job. So one, are we paying it up the line? But also my takeaway as a building leader, are we, if we did a poll in our schools, would something similar to this show up? And I would hope not, because our teachers need that positive feedback as well as the constructive. Community relations. This was actually at my school. Started off with a Veterans Day and eventually had to go into the ice arena because we had over 1,200 people. So developing community relationships, whatever that looks like in your community, is essential. And it buys you political capital when you take risks. I love that center picture with the young one that is not in school with a gentleman that had served. Again, it's not just about that school environment. It's about that. So real quickly, I got a $10 story and one other real quick. $10 story, best $10 I ever spent in my whole life, hands down. Had at the district I was at, first year at the new district, about 10 years into my administrative experience, I had to suspend a student, unfortunately, in the first week. And my secretary and the staff said, oh, you're not going to like it when the mom comes. Mom has been banned from the school. She's going to be upset. And so the mom showed up. She took the student, and I walked them out. And as I was walking around, she said, I was hoping to be able to go to the doctor today, but I can't afford gas. And so I reached into my pocket, pulled out the $10 bill, And I handed it to her because I said, I want you to be able to go to your doctor. Thank you for supporting the school. Never expected to see the $10 back. It came back the next week, and my relationship with that parent was nothing but stellar. In fact, she headed the PTA the last year I was there. So invest in those relationships. And the last piece I'll bring up, one on the right, is our daughter, senior picture that I shot out in Yellowstone. She suffered from tremendous anxiety and profound depression. And as a building leader, I would bring that out when parents were frustrated about the mental health issue. I would explain our experiences with that. And it all deals with vulnerability. It's not easy for myself to talk about. But all of a sudden you go from somebody that's listening to somebody that's gone through it. And by being vulnerable, you solidify relationships with parents. So I am going to leave you guys with this is actually a National Distinguished Principal out of Tennessee. She's a friend of mine, but I love this quote that she had when she was out in D.C., that the legacy that we leave behind can be found in the way that we've inspired students and teachers, in the way that we've listened to them and valued their opinions, and in the way we gave them hope and encouragement. And isn't that what we want our legacy to be? And with that, I will pass the torch over to my dear friend, Gail Plutnik. Gail.
And I heard what you said. We're already over time, so I will make it fast. So the one thing I've learned after over 4 decades in education is the thing that kept me up yesterday, not the thing I'm thinking about today, and probably won't be my focus for tomorrow. So in these unprecedented times, we just have to remember that, just as we can't be an expert in everything, but we can always be that leader that stays positive and keeps moving things forward. And that's what we heard from all these great leaders that are a part of this webinar today. Next slide. So what kept me up? Well, equity, equity, and equity. And again, that lines up very well with the NAESP 10-year study when we're talking about students in poverty, students not performing up to grade level. And we all know, connect the dots, poverty, issues with academics. No surprises there. So the same thing with safety of students and staff. We talked about that management of student behaviors and the emotional problems, student mental health. But I would also tell you, what about the whole family? Mental health issues in families, in our own staff members. So those are all, again, a piece that we think about. What we do about that is what makes the difference. And for me, that last piece, ensuring great leaders and a pipeline to accomplish that goal, I have some slides a little bit later on, won't surprise any of you. Leadership matters, and especially the people that sit in those seats of a principal. They truly make a difference academically, in community connections, in everything. So it matters. Next slide, please. So when we talk about equity, AIR did some really great research around this, and there is a link to their website, but you could easily find it. And what they found is that yesterday, but it's still issues today, we thought about diversity and inclusion and inequities and the use of resources. Today, the crisis that we are in, we understand, and I think now, hopefully, our communities understand that we must do something about the equity issue. It is a crisis. COVID is a crisis. Equity issues create a crisis in our schools and in our communities. So what about tomorrow? Well, we need to use these lessons, and we have to redefine, redesign, and reimagine education. And as we do that, we have to support our early career principals so that they can continue to contribute to making this new, better normal. Because I will tell you, what we're experiencing now is not the new normal. It's the new not normal. How do we take these lessons and create that new, better normal for everyone? Next slide, please. Also, safety. AASA has a toolkit. You can go to their website. And when we were talking about safety, they were also talking about crisis in this toolkit. But never did anyone imagine the kind of crisis COVID-19 created. So yesterday, we were concerned about emotional stress, bullying, and violence. Still concerned about those things. And I think that social emotional learning has certainly surfaced. But today, we also have to add How do we safely reopen our schools? How do we address those issues that this crisis created around emotional stress? Again, not only for our students. This is staff. These are families. It really is the whole when we talk about whole student, whole family, whole staff. So what do? Tomorrow we use those lessons again, and we're going to ensure that when we're talking about safe learning environments, we don't let anything out. Not that emotional safety, not that physical safety. And we have to think about what our school environments might look like. Maybe we're going to be in person. Maybe it's going to be blended. Maybe we're going to have to continue to work remotely. And we heard from our panelists the concerns about not having that physical connection and knowing by using those clues and cues that students give us how they're doing. And here's what I was talking about earlier. We have research now. Now, Walls Foundation has done a great job of really focusing in on leadership in schools, and something maybe we all knew, but now we've got the proof behind it. Principals are critical to what happens every day in our school systems. And in fact, second only to classroom instruction among all school-related factors that contribute to what students learn at school. We also learned from the most recent Wallace study about principal pipeline that there are certain elements, certain components we have to have in place if we want to create this pipeline of a diverse pool that's truly prepared and that we can retain in those seats. Things like pre-service prep. Things like having principal supervisors who are evaluating and giving ongoing support. So it's not just about evaluations, about that support to grow our leaders. And the result of that study was that when you have a rich pipeline and you're supporting those principals, the entire system benefits. Again, no surprises. The other thing, you know, we're always, I know, Paul, you were surprised about the assessment piece. I really wasn't surprised, but here's the good news. If we are taking care of our leaders, those early career principals or those that are in the pipeline to become principals, then academics are improve. So, again, that connection, it's not a secret. We know this. Why aren't we doing it? The other thing is retention, and that is so critical. When you invest in a leader and then you lose that leader, the whole school and whole system are impacted negatively. So when you put supports in for principals, then, and you create that rich pipeline, then you retain those folks. And if you want to learn more about this, again, just go to the Wallace Foundation and you will find those resources. Next slide. And so how do you go from sleepless to sleeping well? Well, you make certain when you're talking about filling positions, you're not just saying, okay, I've got to put somebody in that seat. Nope. You've got to put someone in that seat and make sure you're supporting that administrator. And especially in this time of new, not normal. Because when we talked about you can't have all the answers, you know what? We don't even know all the questions yet. That's how rapidly things are changing. So we have to be, we have to ensure we have those supports in place. And I don't think anymore about filling the seat or just supporting the person. I think about the pipeline. We have to create a pipeline to fill those positions, and we have to make certain that we are supporting early career principals so that we can keep those people in the seats and they can continue to make certain we have a strong pipeline all the way through the superintendency. So that is what kept me up, still keeps me up on some nights, but I'm sleeping much better in retirement. And now we are going to move back to our panel, and we're going to hear from them about really now, what is it that despite all of those challenges, what is keeping you going, panel? So let's turn it back and let's start with Kim this time. Kim, would you like to share?
Hi, yes. What's keeping me going is the team around me and the power that comes from all of us working toward a vision and our mission. And so having at our school a clear vision, mission, and way that we plan to get there together, a roadmap to that, makes us more powerful together. And so having that and knowing that everything we do is for those, you know, those little ones who walk in our door, that's what keeps me going. The hardest thing lately in talking about recovery and reentry plans, because that's what we're thinking about now, is what do you do the first time that a little one wants to give you a hug? And that just, you know, that kind of moment is something we're going to have to prepare for, because it's going to be a difficult moment. But what keeps me going is that I'm going to have them back, and I know they're coming. And so getting ready, being ready, making sure my teachers feel that excitement with us, that's the piece that keeps me going, is knowing that they're excited to come back. We're preparing for them to come back. And that's always the case in the summer, in the over breaks, things like that. But now it's a whole different level. So that's what's motivating me right now.
Okay. Wendy, in about 2 minutes, can you tell us what keeps you going?
Surely. Yes. So while the unknown can be frightening, which is what I shared earlier, for me, my faith and my team, as Kim mentioned, my team, is what allows me to sleep at night. What I know with certainty from previous experiences is that even if in the moment it seems like the end of the world, eventually all things will work out, and that's the faith part. However, I know that we play an active role in all things actually working out, and that's where the amazing team comes in. So I was very fortunate to have a school with well-functioning and effective structures in place, and, you know, distributive leadership extends beyond our leadership team. Every member on our campus operates with integrity and always does what's best for kids. But above all, it's the relationships that exist between the staff members and with students and families. So that's the core of what we do. First week of school, it's always, what are you doing to get to know your students? We can look at lesson plans next week, right now, or, you know, in a couple of weeks, actually. But what are you doing to get to know your students? Because that's the core of everything that we do.
Great. And Tyler, in 2 minutes, what keeps you going?
Yes, ma'am. For me, it's truly celebrating those success stories, such as the one Eric shared with the $10 bill, and remembering and even writing those kind of things down. It's remembering the impacts that you have made on students, on teachers, on families, that you know about, because there's always going to be so many more that you're not aware of. And it's honestly giving your time and giving yourself the right to celebrate those things. As principals, we focus on the we a lot, the we of our school, the we of our teachers, the we of our classrooms. We don't want to focus on the me piece. I'm so much like that myself, but I think we have to give ourselves some time to sit there and look at, what are some things that we can say that or some areas maybe where we are making a difference, and some things we can say are going positively right.
Thank you, Tyler. And Tim, what about you? What keeps you going?
Similar to what the other panelists had said, really the passion, the drive for the staff, you know, not just teaching staff, but every staff member at the school. You know, over the last few months and before that even too, there's a passion, there's an enthusiasm, there's a strong drive to really create the best environment for our kids and provide them some really important opportunities. Education, we know it's always changing. You know, every day is never going to be the same. And so, you know, watching the staff reach out in different ways, try new things, you know, step outside of their comfort zone, that really keeps me going to, you know, to think creatively into how can we reach families, how can we provide something different, what can we do to truly make it an all-inclusive, you know, community building. Not every attempt's going to go as planned. There's often times where we try something and it fails. We learn about it, we talk about it, we'll probably laugh about it, and then we figure out how to improve and then move forward from there. So that collective approach to problem solving and the willingness to think outside of the box. It's easy to get stuck in the same old mundane routines, but that's not always going to be what's best for kids. And so seeing the creativity come out in all of our staff members, whether it's, you know, different ways to support kids on the bus, whether it's in the cafeteria, on the playground, wherever it would be, you know, we have some amazing staff members, and that really keeps me enthusiastic. It keeps me going, and it really pushes me to step outside of my comfort zone to try new things and to make sure that they're supported in those efforts and just kind of continuing building that team and that community since.
Excellent, Tim. Thank you. Thank you all for those great words.
Jennifer shares, considering empowering others, is there a strategic way of prioritizing those top five relationships when mentoring teachers? Some may say choose most critical, most willing.
So is this for all of us to answer, any of us?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
My opinion would be, coming in as a brand new principal, I tried to find those that were the most on board with my vision for the school. Because in entering the school, I needed to make sure that there were some people that truly did understand, here's where I want us to go. That way we can start to build a shared vision. It can start off being my personal vision, but again, it has to be something that eventually becomes shared. So you're looking for those people who are willing to take that risk, who are willing to step forward, who are willing to say, yes, I will go on this journey with you. And then after that, you're starting to look for people who may be more critical, who may be more on the edge, but are able to be won over. You're never going to win over everyone. And so it's starting to build a following and an understanding of where we're going to go as a school.
I would say just you don't have to give the same amount of time investment to every person who shows promise at the same time. And so I have different levels of. So when I first find someone who has a spark of something, I'll just mention it, bring it out, point out, hey, you're really great at that. You know, can you think about doing whatever, whatever. And then, you know, germinate that, let that go. Then there are other people who are a little farther along on their journey. And so it might be offering opportunities to that person. And so then there might be people who are already leaders in your building and you need to push them up to the next level and maybe even say goodbye to them so they can go do something awesome somewhere else. And so I think it depends on who it is, where they are, and looking at a long-term plan for people's best interest. And once they see that, they will support you as well.
Would anybody else like to add any other thoughts? Paul?
I want to thank you very much for allowing the old guy to be part of this today. I don't have any skin in the game anymore, but it's other than the fact that it keeps me going to watch this young group respond in this kind of a way. You know, I finished my doctorate in 1992, and I went back to a principal's meeting after I defended my dissertation. And, Gail, you're going to love this, but the superintendent looked at me and says, you've got the best job in the district. I was trained to be a superintendent. He said, you got the best job. So I don't know why you'd ever want to leave this, and I never did. I think he gave me that kind of advice, and it was able to keep me going. So Tyler and Wendy and Tim and Kim, just remember when those days, when you're awake at night, you had an old guy tell you, this is still the best job there is anywhere in the world. I could have been a superintendent. I think I would have been dealing with the paper all the time, more of the paper than I would anything else. But when I was the principal, I always could deal with the people. And that's the best. So thank you very much for your participation today, Eric and Gail. Thank you very much for coordinating all this and keeping me going. I hope our paths cross together again sometime. And if you ever need any old advice from any old guy, just text me or call me or whatever, and I'm there for you.
Alrighty. Thanks, Paul. Real quick, we had a question came in just as we were saying, okay, we're going to move on to our closing, but I think we still have 3 minutes left. We had somebody that asked, what do you do if a teacher doesn't agree with your vision? How have you or how would you handle that?
For me, I responded to saying that you're looking for those that would get on board, because peer pressure is always more powerful than principal pressure. And if their peers who have been in the building are willing to say, hey, look, this is what's best for kids, this is where we need to go, then that's always going to help. Unfortunately, there may be some times when a new principal comes into a building that you may have to sit down with the teacher. This is a last resort, but to be able to say that, hey, this school may not be the place for you anymore. Here's where we're going. Here's why we're going there. And we're going to continue to do what's best for kids.
Thanks, Tyler.
Read the energy bus. That's a good story about, you know, putting people on the seats in the right place.
You know, there was a question that another person had entered about recommendation for teachers' mental health to ensure they can model and support students' mental and emotional well-being, particularly during these unprecedented times. We have about 30 seconds. Does somebody want to tackle that?
Eric, I'll just say, because, again, 1 hour, unfortunately, isn't enough to address all of this, but if you get on NAESP's website or AASA's website, lots of great resources, especially during COVID-19, around SEL or some of these other issues. So please get onto those websites and take advantage of all that they have to offer. And SEL is a big one, so I know there are a lot of rich resources. And CASEL is another place to look for that. Really important information for us to have.
All righty. Could we have the next slide, please? Thanks, Ann. So, kind of as a segue into what Gail and I are going to be doing in about an hour, we have our Live at 5 series, which deals with the COVID-19 and school leaders responding to COVID-19. Much like today, we'll have two principal panelists, and I believe we have three superintendents joining in today, Gail.
Yes.
It's an hour long, and the panelists answer questions much like today's endeavor. So we encourage you, if you have the time, to join in. You do have to register ahead of time, but you can go to the address on the slide and register. We'd love to have you there, and we can continue the conversation. Next slide, please, Honor. And I think there was one person. What advice could you give? How it was in regard to teacher leaders maybe making that next step or new leaders. And AASA and NAESP just completed the first cohort of the National Aspiring Principals Academy. And it has early career, and then we have those teacher leaders. It's a 9-month program, and we are going to be launching cohort 2 because it was so well received. It'll be launching in July of 2020. And more information is available on NAESP and AASA's website. We encourage you to take a look and spread the word about that if you do have any teacher leaders or colleagues in your district. With that, it is 4:00. We want to say thank you. Thank you to all of our panelists. Thank you in the audience for tuning in. We hope that you found that this webinar to be informative, inspiring, and thank you for what you do. Take care, everybody.